CO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. President Trump tells Hamas, release the hostages or else. Here's correspondent Naomi Ruckham.
President Trump has issued an ultimatum to Hamas, demanding the remaining Israeli hostages be released.
They ought to be returned by 12 o'clock on Saturday. And after that, I would say all hell is going to break out.
The threat followed the terror group's announcement that it would delay the next hostage release, accusing Israel of violating their ceasefire agreement. Israeli officials say their military is now on high alert.
Mr. Trump has followed through on his promised 25% tariffs on imported steel and aluminum, saying foreign countries may retaliate, but that would be a mistake.
We're the piggy bank. But if we don't do this, we won't be the piggy bank for long.
Vice President Vance has told the conference on artificial intelligence it would be a mistake to overregulate a growing industry. Speaking in Paris, he says the world should embrace AI.
AI, I really believe, will facilitate and make people more productive. It is not going to replace human beings. It will never replace human beings.
South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace has taken the unusual step of taking a very personal issue to the House floor. Here's CBS's Michael Wallace.
Mace claims the men, including her former fiancé, took non-consensual photos and videos of underage girls and women, including herself, and assaulted them. Her message to the other victims?
You have a friend, and you have a sister, and me.
Police say they are looking into the allegations, but Mace accused South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson of stalling the investigation.
We are filled with cowards.
Mace and Wilson are both considering running for governor. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
In Scottsdale, Arizona, one person is dead, three hurt after a small plane landed, then skidded off the runway and hit another plane. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Phoenix.
It was just about 2:40 local time here in Phoenix when this Learjet came into land at the Scottsdale Airport. That's an airport very popular with private jets. As it came in and landed, it appears part of the landing gear collapsed, which sent the plane veering off the runway. It slammed into a parked Gulfstream 200.
The Lear is owned by Motley Crue singer Vince Neil, who was not aboard. When it comes to the Super Bowl, well, it seems like we say this every year.
It's on the sneak. Pyle drives his way in. Touchdown.
Fox Sports says the game set a new ratings record with about 126 million viewers on air and online. Wall Street S&P futures are down 16, Dow futures down 78. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Bucks bow to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125-111. Stephen Curry led Golden State with 38 points, the most he's had all season. Jimmy Butler had 20 and 9 rebounds in his second game for the Warriors since being traded from the Heat. Damian Lillard also had 38 points in the loss.
I thought we didn't execute well enough out of that. You know, the screening, slipping, getting the guys involved that we wanted to get involved. We didn't do it consistent enough. And then, you know, it was still a close game. Loose balls, they got to them. You know, we allowed them to get off threes. You know, they got a lot of shooters, and I thought they separated themselves getting threes off, second opportunities. And then, obviously, the turnovers. You know, I felt like I had more turnovers than I ever had in a game today. So, you're not going to win a game not valuing every possession against a team that's shooting the ball like that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. A dog is supposedly a man's best friend, but in the movie Dogman, they are one and the same. The film, about a canine police officer and his human handler who become one following surgery after being injured on the job, is number one at the box office for a second week in a row. The family-friendly canine caper pulled in almost $14 million at the domestic box office this past weekend, bringing its two-week total to $54 million. Two newcomers filled spots number two and three from last weekend. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes opened in second place with a week weekend haul of $8.5 million, and it was Universal's action comedy Love Hurts that came in third place with $5.8 million. Mufasa the Lion King is showing serious resilience, finishing at number four with just under $4 million in its eighth week of release, and with domestic totals now at $235 million. Finishing out the top five is the horror sci-fi comedy Companion, which brought in $3 million in its second week in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cold today, partly cloudy with a high right around 7 above this afternoon. The wind out of the west at only 5, but that'll keep the wind chill below zero all day today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 5 below. Tomorrow, light snow, mostly cloudy with a high of 16. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is 0.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as judgments continue to mount up against the Trump administration. Also, why is the DOJ dropping criminal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Welcome back to the second hour of Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly, here with the incredible Greg Bach. We are Bach in the Dock, filling in for Pat Kreitlow, who's going to be back on Monday. Later this hour, we're going to be visiting with De Pere School Board candidate and Motherhood for Good ambassador Colleen Nowak. We're doing a big Motherhood for Good push today because they are. They're just so good.
They're Motherhood for Good.
Their motherhood for good. And you know, that conversation with Andy in our last segment, he just explains things. He's so knowledgeable and so thoughtful about his approach to school funding. We take these business professionals in our schools for granted because it just kind of happens for us as citizens. But man, so smart, so visionary, and you know, really grateful to him for spending some time with us this morning to teach us a little bit about how our schools are funded and how the Department of Education changes may impact us here in our communities in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it just kind of makes sense. You know, we should be funding schools well and making sure they're great places for learning and, you know, not slashing and burning them down and diverting their money towards other things, if you will.
Yeah. You know, it was really interesting to hear that this is the money that feeds our students and that is that's fundamental. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you have to be fed in order to be able to do anything else. So, yeah, really important stuff. Hey, y'all, you're welcome to join the conversation anytime. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can text us on the Civic Media app and comment on the live stream on YouTube. And hey, it is 7:08, and guess who we're welcoming back this morning after her Super Bowl Monday day off? It's Brittany Merlot, everybody.
Wow. Hey, good morning.
Were you partying it up on Sunday, Brittany?
You'd say that, I guess. I really took a really long road trip, honestly.
There you go.
I went all the way to Michigan. So I went down south, saw some family, went to Michigan, saw some friends that were all meeting there, and then drove all the way back. But I had to leave during Saturday's snowstorm. So I drove through that. Yes, yes. And then last night, through the cold front, so a lot of snow out on the roads and even more on the way this week.
Girl, you should have checked the weather before you went.
I know, right? Of all people.
Well, then once you hit Milwaukee, you're like, oh, it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of, temperatures across the state are so crazy this morning. We're from 22 below into Hayward to 20 degrees into Kenosha. That's a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, make it better. Fix it.
Yeah,
where's
do
your
something.
Wand?
Yeah. You're the wizard of weather.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to request then. Snowstorm after snowstorm, like tomorrow and then Friday.
This is like when you get the genie bottle and you wish for something. They're like, yeah, sure. And then they use the words against you and you're like, ah, darn it.
Yep. That just happened. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you're actually in a winter storm watch right now, Greg, down south. Areas from Sheboygan to Milwaukee, all the way to Janesville. And that's for tomorrow, where a good 4 to 9 inches of snowfall is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be fun. Wait, 4 to 9
You're
going to
get your snow. Yeah.
I didn't order it. I'm not a fan of snow.
But, I mean, we've got all these snow blowers and shovels that we need to start using.
Yes.
I mean, that's wasted money if we don't, right?
I will say this. I love that the areas that need snow, the use it for sports, use it for business. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy they're finally getting it because last year it was a disaster. But mm-hmm. I don't have a ski resort at my house. I don't. Take my snow, please. Thank you very much. Oh, yes. Yeah,
so, I feel like there could be an exchange here. Like Brittany would be happily take all of your snow and leave you with the no snow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Deal. Done. Shake hands. There we are. Fine.
Oh, it seems like going on across the rest of the new north.
What was that now?
You know, the state's pretty calm. It's just like going through this big high pressure system and then another low following it every other day. So it's going to get breezy too. On Thursday, we're going to have some wicked wind chills once again. Temperatures staying pretty cold. I mean, highs today into central Wisconsin are only going to be in the single digits. Well, down south, yeah, you'll hit the 20s, but still that's crisp out there. And then tomorrow we slide to highs only in the teens to single digits statewide. And that stays the case for the rest of the week too. So some pretty crisp, cool air, wind chills, snow, a brutal February. Of course, it's always really settles in when we're kind of getting tired of it mm-hmm. a little bit. But, mm-hmm. you know, we do need it. We are in a snow drought still, regardless, even after last or over the weekend.
We are halfway through winter.
We are.
Yeah.
And right side.
And I was saying before is that I feel like February is the pinnacle of where it can all be just, oh, you know, like really yeah. hard. And I even like with the snow, more with the cold. The cold always seems mm-hmm. to hit the worst in February now. And then when you make it through and you hit March, you're like, all right, you know it's going to get better. You know you're going to have some cold days in March. You know there might be snow in March. But you also know that the next month after that is April. And then May, and you know, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. And then you get people saying, it's so hot out. You're like, yeah. I can't win. This is yes, just is welcome to Greg's month by month whining grandpa marathon.
I love it when you see in the spring, it's like 30 degrees outside, but people are so desperate to wear like short sleeves yep. and shorts that you yep. see these folks and you're like, that's how I know I live up north.
Have ourselves, of course, the weather report from Tigerton. Rob from Tigerton saying, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 2 degrees above zero with a wind chill of 8 degrees below zero. He goes on to say, yesterday I had to plow my sister Lori's driveway out there out with a tractor with the front end loader broke down. Her favorite brother came to the rescue. He says, thank you, Kristen, for sharing my pictures on your social websites. It's very appreciated. And he also says, what else? He goes, Brittany, I hope you are feeling better, and thank you for helping make February normal Wisconsin winter. And snowmobile trails in western Shawano County are open as of yesterday morning. It's just as always, Rob from Tigerton sharing love. And for me, most importantly, he says, when I think of Weird Al, I think of the old Dr. Demento radio shows that used to air on WSPT radio in Stevens Point. Fun fact, Weird Al Yankovic was the very first live concert I saw. He opened for the Monkees in 1986. And really? That was the Like a Surgeon tour.
Where did you see that?
The Marcus Amphitheater.
I went to that show in Green Bay.
Nice. Yep. It was the 20th anniversary of the Monkees. They were touring on their album Pool It. My God. But yeah, that was my, I remember seeing it and he did the surgery on stage. I'm like, this seems weird. And I loved it.
Oh
yeah.
So. My gosh. Okay then. Well, Brittany, thanks for hanging out with us.
Of course. You guys have a good day. Stay warm and get ready for the snow.
Thank you, DJ Flip Mix.
Yeah.
Oh, we love Brittany's weather report.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, let's talk a little bit just briefly about sports, because I just want to remind you one more time that Greg ruined the Bucks last night.
What did I do?
Uh-huh. By jinxing them, talking about Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Bucks lost to Marquette. Sorry, to Golden State.
Thanks.
Wow. Steph Curry had a season-high 38 points. But, you know, you can redeem yourself because, you know, there's another game coming up. And And tomorrow, Marquette is playing. Number 18, Marquette takes on DePaul. The 16, number 16 Badger men play number 7 Purdue on Saturday. That's going to be a game.
I didn't tell you this. On Sunday, I watched some college hoops. And I was very interested. I was kind of fascinated. I don't watch a lot of basketball. For me, okay, for those who don't know, baseball is my sport. I love baseball, and I'm a big fan of tennis. Those are my two sports. Basketball, I'm trying to get more into because there's so many people into it, and I know that when you work in radio, there's going to be conversations about, especially when you live in Wisconsin, football conversations, and they're going to be
got to keep up.
So I was watching, you know, the Wisconsin Badgers play on Sunday, and I'm like, this is very entertaining and fun to watch. I found myself watching it, not just like peering over to look at the score.
College basketball is so different than professional basketball, too.
Very much so.
I find it very entertaining.
Yeah. What makes it entertaining for you? Like, what's the key difference for you with college basketball?
It's less of this polished, like, pass and score, and it's more scrappy.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, I also love all the, you know, I was a mascot, and so I love the band and the cheerleaders, and it's less of a production, and it just feels more like you're part of it.
Yeah, okay. I remember I went to a Bucks game, and I felt like it was so regimented. Like, they're like, here's the game. Here are all the games we're playing between the breaks and all this. I'm like, this feels like it felt like a show. It felt like a concert almost, where everything was, you know, scheduled down to the moment. And the basketball was just a part of it. You know, it was sort of like interwoven in it. But I would go see a college game. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, you definitely should. Badger games are a blast.
Yeah.
And Bucks games, you have to be really like careful about when you choose to go to the bathroom during the game, because there's always something happening. You're going to miss something.
Well, also, I mean, I think I'd like to believe that a Badger game is going to be cheaper than a Bucks game. But then again, if it's at the Pfizer, who knows? But I got to support the Panthers because I am a UW Milwaukee graduate. So go Panthers.
Go Panthers. Hey, you want to talk about a headline that I saw yesterday that I find very entertaining?
Yes.
Did you happen to see the legislation that Mark Pocan introduced last week in the style of Doge and the spirit of democracy? It's called the Eliminate Looting of Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy Act. Yeah, the acronym is the Elon Musk Act. And it was... It's so good. It is intended to ensure transparency and honesty in government spending. It would direct federal agencies to terminate any contracts held by a special government employee, similar to the bans on receiving contracts, because members of Congress can't do this kind of inside stuff. You know, folks who work for the federal government can't do this inside stuff, but somehow Elon Musk can't. So Mark Pocan has introduced this legislation, and it's pretty fun.
Well, we will definitely be talking to Mark Pocan about that, because he's going to be on Matt and Air on Air next Tuesday at 10:30. Oh, yes. So this will definitely be brought up in conversation, because that's one of the things I love about Congressman Pocan, is that he's an amazing legislator, and he just doesn't take guff. He's also just he himself is scrappy, I believe. He's a scrappy gentleman, and he has fun with what he does. And there's a lot. Oh, my gosh. Chef's kiss.
Yes. Well, and, you know, recognizing that last year, Elon Musk spent more than $250 million to help elect Donald Trump, and he has become $154 billion richer since then, a 600-time return on investment. So I love that Mark Pocan is putting it out there, and he's making it interesting so people will pay attention, because, folks, it's our democracy that's at stake here. So really appreciate him. But, hey, we're going to be back in 2 with more headlines. Talk about the NIH, and you know, it's gonna be nice. Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After 22 years as a commissioner and chair of the Federal Election Commission, Ellen Weintraub was purportedly sacked by President Donald Trump with this terse sentence: "You are hereby removed as a member of the Federal Election Commission, effective immediately." But as with several of Trump's recent actions, it's not legal. Weintraub may have made Trump's enemies list when she and another commissioner issued a statement in 2021 after the FEC's three Democrats and three Republicans deadlocked, subsequently dropping the campaign finance violation complaint resulting from Trump's $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Weintraub and then FEC Chair Shayna Broussard said after the dismissal, the commission therefore did not have enough votes to pursue well-grounded charges that the former president of the United States knowingly and willfully accepted contributions nearly 5,000% over the legal limit to suppress a negative story mere days before Election Day. The Campaign Legal Center's Trevor Potter, himself a former FEC chair, said in a statement, "In claiming to fire a commissioner of the Federal Election Commission, the president violates the law, the separation of powers, and generations of Supreme Court precedent. As the only agency that regulates the president, Congress intentionally did not grant the president the power to fire FEC commissioners." In a post on X, Weintraub vowed to continue her work on the commission. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
Greg and I like to keep it classy here on Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's Mas Queinada from Brazilian jazz great Sergio Mendes, born on this day in 1941, passed away last September. You know, Pat actually plugged this song in, and I thought, I'm not going to know what this song is, but I definitely do know what that song is.
Absolutely. Yep. It's in all those sexy swinging 60s movies and then anything making fun of it, you know.
Right.
It's that, oh, it's like, ooh, sexy party.
All right. We're going to just take a little bit of a turn from sexy party to NIH funding.
Which in itself can be a sexy party if you want. It can be a sexy party, so.
I mean, no, probably not.
Okay, fine.
So I think it's really important to talk about this. And this is a serious subject. Because what we have seen is, I mean, there's been a barrage of stuff coming from, you know, from Washington, D.C., and it's been very chaotic. But this is something that really affects Wisconsin deeply and has long-lasting potential for very negative impact. So here's the deal. The National Institute of Health, the NIH, last week issued a directive to change the rate at which federal grants are funded. So this is a change in reimbursement for both existing and ongoing research. It went into effect on Monday, and it's one of, as you know, DOGE's many federal efforts to cut costs, which, you know, cutting costs is, it's always smart to be efficient. That's true. But in this situation, they're using a machete when they should be using a scalpel. And I'll explain why. So the day after this directive was published, the UW issued the following statement, and it's so precise and impactful that I'm going to read the whole thing. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is one of the world's leading engines of biomedical research. This proposed change to NIH funding, UW-Madison's largest source of federal support, will significantly disrupt vital research activity and delay life-saving discoveries and cures related to cancer, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, and much more. In addition, these reductions will have an inevitable impact on student opportunities to engage in research activities from undergrads to PhDs and medical students. Medical innovation will be slowed, delaying the creation of new treatments, new technologies, and new health workers. The so-called indirect costs go to support many aspects of the educational and research work of the university. Indirect costs contribute to everything from utilities charges to building up the laboratories where science is done to infrastructure for clinical trials of new medicines and new treatments. Drastic reduction to this funding will not only disrupt the day-to-day important work of the university, but will ultimately harm the livelihoods of real people across Wisconsin and the country. It will harm the innovation economy, and it will make our nation less competitive. And I love the emphasis that they put on on students, on technology, on the cost, the financial cost, the impact on our health, because all of these things are so true. And it's not just the UW that's pushing back, of course. Many other research organizations have pushed back, the American Association of Medical Colleges, the American Council on Education, the Association of American Universities, and many more. As I said earlier, part of the Musk and Trump initiative to cut costs may sound good and may even look reasonable on paper. As I was reading it, the way it's written sounds like kind of logical, but you know, there's always more to the story. The directive that the NIH issued acknowledged that these indirect costs are really difficult to assign at the project level, because it's things like lab time, technology, data processing, security, patient safety, so much of that infrastructure stuff that isn't just assigned to one project, but is assigned to lots of different projects, lots of different labs use this infrastructure. And this is the infrastructure that you have to have if you're going to do the research. You can't just walk in with a bunch of test tubes and do some research in your kitchen. You know, you need all of the other stuff as well. And the other problem with the NIH funding is the NIH statement is they compare this federal funding with private grant funding like the Gates Foundation. And they note that indirect costs are significantly less with private funding. So the goal that they have is to cut costs to be consistent with private funding. But the comparison is highly problematic because the two are vastly different. The budget methodology between private and federal funding is totally different. Even within different private funding sources, they have different ways that they allocate these funds. And many of the expenses that would end up in this indirect category, all that infrastructure stuff with federal funds, end up in the direct category with the private funds. Plus, private funds are only about 6% of the R&D dollars overall that we use for research in this country. And often the things that they fund are really different. So for example, the Gates Foundation really focuses on Africa and developing countries, really different from the lab research that we're doing here at the University of Wisconsin to find a cure for Alzheimer's and so many other things. So these reckless cuts are based on flawed assumptions. They will result in short and long-term harm to the people and institutions of our state, which ranks sixth nationally for research expenditures. The UW is a huge research school, sixth in the country, $1.7 billion in 2024, half of which comes from federal and institutional funds. Some of the projects that these things fund, a $29 million award that treats and studies causes of blindness. A nearly $20 million award to pursue innovations to help Wisconsin's dairy industry. A $15 million award for the College of Engineering to fund pioneering efforts to understand, detect, and prevent traumatic brain injuries. I mean, UW Solution, the reason we can even do transplants in this country, was funded by these kinds of grants. So while this might look like a cost-cutting effort on its surface, the people of Wisconsin will end up paying in the short and long term, with far-reaching consequences for our state and local economies, as well as, perhaps most importantly, our health. Fortunately, Attorney General Call and Governor Evers have gotten behind this multi-state initiative to push back on this directive. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We're fighting for it. But this NIH funding, very concerning. So thanks for listening to my soliloquy. Appreciate you all. Yeah, but we need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about public education with Colleen Nowak, candidate for DePere School Board. I'm Kristen Lyerly. This is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin potato growers faced a little lower yield in 2024, but that might be a good thing for us. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. That's the word from Brian Lee. He is in charge of sales and transportation at Oak Gray Family Farms in Plover. He said their production last year was down about 25% compared to the massive crop they harvested in 2023. But he says overall, that's not bad.
Storage conditions, you know, quality coming out of the storage right now is really good. But this year we did not have to pile so high because the yields were down. So that keeps the pressure bruising down and everything like that, so which is nice. And that's a good thing to have, too. We like that, no pressure bruising, because then our, you know, when we grade the potatoes, we're throwing out more than we want to, you know. But, yep, so the pressure bruising's down and everything coming out of storage quality-wise is really good this year for everybody, just because the storage, you know, the amount was down, yields were down.
Brian Lee, in charge of sales and transportation at Oak Gray Family Farms in Plover. Again, yields last year down about 25%, but the quality of the potatoes coming out of storage, excellent.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
Innovation.
The end of harvest, snow-covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And if you're looking at a spring beautification project, well, guess what? The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources might be able to help. They've announced they've got two-year-old oak seedlings available for purchase. The seedlings are from Wisconsin's Wilson State Nursery and are ready to plant. The seedlings are available because of a high-quality acorn crop they harvested in 2022. Many of the one-year-old seedlings were purchased last year. Others were grown for another year. That means there's a bumper crop of two-year-old seedlings ready to go. You can find details on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, or the Wisconsin DNR website. That's a look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cold today, partly cloudy with a high right around 7 above this afternoon. The wind out of the west at only 5, but that'll keep the wind chill below 0 all day today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 5 below. Tomorrow, light snow, mostly cloudy with a high of 16. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below 0.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, do you think what Trump is doing is actually working? I'm going to break it all down about the real strategy and how it will impact you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach on the board. It's 7:34 on Tuesday, February 11th. You like that song?
I love that song. Thank you so much for playing it.
Oh, of course. So that's the Twins of Franklin out of Minneapolis with To the Moon. You can find them wherever you get your music, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. I personally discovered them when I was talking with our next guest, who happens to be the sister of one of those twins. Colleen Nowak, welcome to Civic Media Morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
That's my sister Laura and her friend Becky. They're not actually twins, believe it or not. One is my sister, so I lend her to Becky every once in a while to play in their band, the Twins of Franklin. So go check them out.
Yeah, and they're making quite a splash in Minneapolis. They've got a bunch of tour dates coming up. So yeah, check them out on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, wherever you get your music. A little bit more about Colleen. She's a mom with young kids. She is a fellow healthcare provider, physical therapist. And when the need became apparent in her community, she banded together with others to organize and create a strong foundation for her local school district. Since that time, she's recognized that it's her turn to step up and lead in a different way. And I'm so excited to support her candidacy for public office. She's running for the first time for public office ever in her life for DePere School Board. Colleen, how did this journey begin for you?
Thanks for having me. My journey began in 2023. My son was in 4K and our school district held a 10-year strategic planning program called Flight Path 2033. And it brought together a group of just community members, teachers, admin, students, and even like business owners and just people around our community. And it brought us all together to make this strategic plan and really make our top 10 priorities. And it was a whole long weekend and some really amazing conversations. And the best part was, I mean, they brought down like all the barriers. We're not talking politics. This is just what are our priorities, just people to people. And that program really inspired me to, I mean, I was already very invested in our schools, having three kids that will be in our district, but I like working together and creating consensus among our community. It felt amazing to work that way with people and our teachers and admin. So leading from that, it kind of led us to work on, we have a lot of buildings that are getting too small for our population. So we're needing to look at what we're going to do about that. So I was on a facilities planning committee, and that led to our referendum committee. I was a part of a parent vote yes group called Unified for the Kids of DePere. And that brought us to now school board. I started attending a lot of our school board meetings just to help promote and get the information out there why we need these referendums, and be the voice that, you know, our district can't tell people how to vote. They can just share the facts. So just being able to be the voice out in the community and educating our neighbors and community members who don't step foot in our schools necessarily, it's important for them to hear from parents why it is that we need to fund our schools and support our staff.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And our schools are the foundation of our communities. Whether you have kids in school or not, these kids, these teachers are their employees. They are the people who are working in the restaurants that serve you. They are the people who are going to grow up and create the future in this district, in this area especially. People tend to stay here for generations. I mean, yeah. I'm wearing my proud Kakana ghost shirt because I was in Kakana yesterday at a listening session with my representatives. But, you know, we, generation after generation, are investing in each other. And in this region, more than any other part of Wisconsin, we're growing the future. And that's exactly what you did with this strategic planning. Talk a little bit about some of the, how this work that you've done has helped you as a mom and a community member and somebody who may have been feeling kind of frustrated about what was going on, how you were able to channel your energy into this positive, good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I have to say, I was an anxious person in 2016, and I just wanted to get out and do something. It was, and then the pandemic happened, and I was feeling frustrated. I, at that time, was a physical therapist in a nursing home in a senior community, so I was touched every day by the pandemic, and I finally got to a point. Now, it wasn't immediately, because sometimes when you're a parent, and especially a mom, I have to say, when you're in the throes of motherhood, you can't necessarily take the time to do everything. So we can't do RUT for school board at every stage of our life. That, you know, that it took until my oldest is now 8 to feel like I can do that, or even to work with this referendum group. But it finally got to a point where I did have the time and was able to start meeting with other people and working and taking the time to go to this flight path and go to different planning committees and the school board meetings and things like that. So, but it definitely has helped my mental health to be able to do things, to talk to people. I think being able to talk to our teachers and admin and other community members, I think, just like you said, there's so many alumni in our area, and it's really fun to hear about their experiences in our high school. Then they're talking about how the high school looks exactly the same as they went to high school. So it's helpful to hear those stories. But people are so proud of our community, and being able to talk to people has even driven me more to be able to get out there and support our schools and the people within them. But yeah, it's helped to create more community. And like just this weekend, I was able to get some other families together and just have conversations. I did an event at our local paint your own pottery place, Paint and Pottery, and just to be able to talk, like, let's just get together, have the kids do some crafts and talk about what's on your heart, what's on your mind. And just being able to get out of the house to do that is important too for our mental health. But I think that's just being able to talk it out with other people and be heard has been very helpful. So I would encourage people, you know, if you have community, even if it's just texting, even if it's sending some voice memos, like just being able to get that out is important for us.
Right. You don't have to run for school board, although you are. No. And you're running uncontested, which means that you don't have to do anything. I mean, you are going to be elected, but you're still out there talking with people, uplifting people, because that's your heart. And I think for a lot of us, you know, you spoke about how do you channel your anxiety into something positive. It doesn't have to be running for school board. It could be joining a group, an indivisible group, a community conversations group. You could hop on board with the Mommy AF folks. We're going to talk with Andrea Fanta tomorrow. It's really just finding that sense of community, of support, and then growing out from there. And another thing that you mentioned, and it's something that when you find that sense of support, you're enhancing your mental health. And mental health was a giant priority when you worked on the strategic visioning for the De Pere School District. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing across the district and how this came to be a priority for us?
Yes. So we got together again. That was 2023 when we were meeting for that 10-year plan committee or program. And we, it was that voted number one of our priorities. So I think that's really helped to drive when we were doing our operational referendum, where those fundings, what we're pushing for. And we were able to now hire another school psychologist and another school social worker. I think we're definitely making moves in the right direction. And I think we just need to continue to work that way and push for more mental health support. But I was able to meet with our teachers union last week. We did our forum last week. And one thing that they were touching on is their mental health. And I, as a person who works and just a human being, you know, we all have our struggles with mental health, but mental health in the workplace is important too. And I really want to prioritize their mental health as well, so that they have balance, because just like parents' mental health reflecting upon our children, the same thing's going to happen with our teachers and our kids, or admins and the kids that are in the school. We need them to feel balanced. And I know I need breaks. I need to be able to have balance in my daily life. So we need to have, you know, substitute teachers so that they can go out and have the day off that they deserve without feeling extremely guilty that they didn't have a substitute teacher behind and, you know, classes were combined. Or we need to have the support day to day. One thing that I work on in my healthcare provider, in my role now, we have a care for the caregiver program, which is a peer support program. And I told the teachers, this is not to just like put a band-aid on the situation. This isn't the only thing I would suggest, but just something that I found helpful personally is being able to just have a peer support group where we can just talk it out, because sometimes you do just need to have a safe place to vent, but then also an opportunity to then get the support that you need, so that if you need to get mental health support, or if you need some more information of what the district does provide as far as mental health support, they have the opportunity to hear that.
That's so important. There were other opportunities or other challenges, priorities that you identified with Flight Path. What were some of the other things that you are going to be focusing on in the future as an elected school board member?
We have our, we have limited space right now. So we will be looking in the future at possibly building another high school. We need to look at where that would go, what that would look like. And, but otherwise we also are just looking at support for the students, looking at more trade focused classes and what kind of variety of classes that we'll have. We have a great youth apprenticeship program. So I think working with our community members to expand that will be amazing. And something I learned this year is they're actually healthcare apprenticeships. And I met a new babysitter.
Oh, that's amazing. Look at how that happened.
I know. So that is not really... my running for school board, but
way to find new babysitters. It highlights how interconnected everything is. And we mentioned this earlier, but we have to connect our schools with the people in our communities. We have to bring our communities into our schools and foster that that mutually supportive relationship. So in the minute or so that we have left, what are some ways that you envision bringing schools and communities together?
Yes. So I would love to do some more of these community conversations. With the referendums that we recently had, we were able to do some forums in our communities, in our town, town halls and things like that. So I think doing that, but then, I have big ideas that I have not passed a board or any admin, where we could, you know, have our summer school classes and maybe have more access to community members to some of those classes. I know that I have told our history teacher that I would love to audit some of his classes.
Oh, fun. Yes.
Stuff like that. But I think also just being able to connect more with our community through our sports, through our music, things like that. So more outreach that way would be amazing.
Fantastic. Colleen Nowak, candidate for DePere School Board, Motherhood for Good Ambassador. If listeners want to know more about you or support your campaign, how can they find you?
They can find me at www.colleen4dp.com. Otherwise, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Colleen4dp. So find me on all the socials and the website.
Fantastic. And I'll post it on my social. We'll have it in the show notes too. Colleen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you again for having me.
You bet. We'll be back in a couple minutes with a preview of the shenanigans we have planned for tomorrow. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Such a great song.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this is your earworm for the day. You like it?
It's fantastic. I mean, you can't not sing this song when you hear it.
It is one of my favorite car songs. It was released on this day in 1983, so we're pulling all the history through the whole show today.
There is a video of this song. Someone all the way to write a song parody of this, where all they do is shot for shot describe the video of this song. And it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I will send it to you.
I would like to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the meantime, I will continue to keep this on my playlist because it is one of my favorite car songs to sing. Do you have a favorite car song to sing?
It varies. Honestly, right now, it's Kendrick Lamar, They Not Like Us. I cannot stop listening to that song.
Do you sing it?
Well, I mean, as many of the words as I know and the words that I am willing to say out loud, yes, but I don't. I will say my singing car song is, oh my gosh, I've sung it like a billion times. Hold on one second. It's a Brad Paisley song.
Dust on the... Mud on the tires?
No.
I is that what it's called? I don't even know.
You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would not be the song that I would pick out for you as your favorite singing.
Yeah, just listen to the song once. You know, I belt that song out. I love that song.
I have a whole playlist that's called Schmaltz. And those are all the songs that I like to sing in the car.
We all have
and
them.
And I sing them.
We all have our mm-hmm. We have our private personal mobile karaoke list.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good for. I find that when I can sing like that, it makes me feel better. It's one of those things. You know, you got to find that stuff in your day that makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
For some reason, singing like that makes me feel good. Although I don't do it well, and I try to do it when I'm not bothering anybody else.
Totally Midwestern. I'm sorry, my singing was bothering you.
Yeah, I know. So what's coming up on Civic Media later today? What are you and Jane going to talk about?
Oh my gosh, we got so much going on. There is so much going on today. It's a packed day on the network itself, but we have let's see here. What do we got going on? Today is, Todd Alba is going to be on the show at 10:30, though. Very wonderful, very excellent. If you're ever talking to Todd, just tell him he's great and watch him start blushing. He can't take a compliment. He'll be on from 10:30 to 11. We always have a civic media guest on Tuesday at 10:30. He'll be talking about the news of the week so far. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to have Matt King, who's from the Hunger Task Force, talking about their mobile market, which allows a mobile grocery store to go to food deserts around the area. And then, of course, rounding out the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 11:50. So you want to tune in for that. We're on from 10 a.m. to noon.
I love This Shouldn't Be a Thing because it makes me think about things that shouldn't happen and go, what?
Well, and that's the funny thing, too. We get, you know, that one is always for us going to be lighter, fun. Nice. We want you to leave the show with a smile, but people will send us ones and be like, this is, they'll be like, something that some politician's doing or some horrible weather thing. We're like, we don't want to bum people out at the end of the show.
That's what the beginning of the show is about.
Exactly. We want to bum people out at the beginning of the show.
I mean, there's a lot going on in the world that we have to talk about.
Absolutely.
But we do need some lightness.
What is coming up tomorrow for you?
Well, we are going to focus on small business. We've got Mark Becker from Rational Revolution. He's going to be my co-host. And then Michelle Tressler, who is the co-founder of Hinterland. She's also a board member with Alliance. She's going to talk about like a 10,000 foot view of what's happening with small businesses here in Wisconsin. And then Andrea Fanta, who is the Mommy AF founder.
Yep.
She has taken this support group and she has turned it into a brick and mortar place where she's inviting people to come in. And it's a space where they can sell their things and build their community in a very like almost like a micro business kind of way.
Nice.
So really looking forward to those conversations tomorrow. And of course, music. And of course, history. The usual stuff.
And us, Bach and the Doc.
Bach and the Doc. Wait, I don't think we have another Doc tomorrow, though, for the first time this week.
Then it's just Bach and the Doc, not Bach and the Docs.
Yeah, that's less competition for me.
There's only one Doc in my heart. Well, actually, that's not true. I got a couple, but that's fine. You're fantastic. You're definitely top seven.
Could I be at least your favorite gynecologist?
Yes. Done. Well, oh gosh, Dr. Kreitler, Dr. Hanks.
What about Hanks? I know. You have a lot of gynecologists in your life. Do you think that that's unusual?
And trust me, you've taught me so much. And I mean that for real. The things that I've learned about things, I have nothing but gratitude for the things that you and Dr. Hanks have told us over the, told me and us over the years. Really informative, helped inform my opinions on things, not just making me, you know, it's easy to have a, like I believe in abortion access, but why do you? And then, you know, like, the reasons why is, you know, you helped deepen those strengths and those beliefs.
Well, and, you know, abortion is such a small part of what we do and what we talk
about.
Yeah,
exactly.
But there's so much more, which is why public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks is such a blast to listen to.
It's great. We love that. We can't wait to have her back. She's wonderful. We miss her face dearly. And I believe you're coming on the show next week as well. Am I correct or no?
Sure.
I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, no. Actually,
I always show up.
Oh, no. Actually, it is going to be a public service announcement with Dr. Hanks. We're so excited. Okay. It's an embarrassment. Let's get out of here.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks to Andy Weiland and Colleen Noah. Greg, thanks for being amazing. I so appreciate you.
Thank you for being awesome.
Yeah, we'll see y'all again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Focus on small business. But until then, get out there and do some good.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many areas in Milwaukee are considered a food desert. That's why there's the mobile market. You'll find out how you can use it yourself. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Yamato, the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says Hamas had better release its hostages by Saturday noon or, quote, all hell is going to break out. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
This ultimatum for releasing hostages was completely unexpected. And now there are two big questions. Will Hamas meet this vague demand? And how will President Trump respond if Hamas doesn't?
Vice President Vance tells a conference on artificial intelligence the president embraces AI.
The Trump administration will maintain a pro-worker growth path for AI so it can be a potent tool for job creation in the United States.
Investigators say a collapsed landing gear may have caused a Learjet to plow into a parked jet after a landing near Phoenix. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The Lear 35A is owned by Motley Crue lead singer Vince Neil. A statement posted by his lawyer says he was not on board and that his thoughts and prayers go out to everyone involved.
One person was killed, three injured. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
I'm Brittany Merlot with